Hello, and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Evening Bible Studies with your host and Bible teacher, Chris McCann. We invite you to our website at ebiblefellowship.org for additional Bible studies. And now, with his study in the book of Romans, here's Chris McCann.
Good evening, and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Bible Study in the book of Romans. Tonight is study number 51 of Romans chapter 1, and we'll be reading from verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. And we'll stop reading there. That brings us to the end of the chapter. And we're going to actually begin in verse 29. I just read verse 28 to give more of the context. And in verse 29, we're given a list of sins as it begins being filled with all unrighteousness. So these sins are what fill the ungodly. They fill them up, just like the Spirit of God fills the believer. But these are the fruits of wickedness that unsaved man is filled with. And when we read the list, we find that there are 23 sins that are listed. And a good thing to do, get a pen, and starting with unrighteousness, mark that number one, put a little one, you know, at the beginning of the word. Go to the next word, fornication, number two. And as you do that and you go through, you'll find it goes from verse 29 through 31. And the last one mentioned, unmerciful, is number 23. 23 sins. And it just so happens, is that what we're to think? That God's end time judgment program begins with the judgment on the churches, a 23-year judgment, followed by a judgment on the world of 23 inclusive years. The number 23 is a word that identifies with tribulation and judgment. And here, it's really not surprising. We've seen it in other parts of the Bible as well. In the book of Daniel, for example, I think it was in Daniel chapter 2 or 3, where in chapter 3, King Nebuchadnezzar made an image and wanted everyone to bow down at the sound of the playing of musical instruments. The musical instruments were listed four different times, and with each listing, there were six, and then one time five, totaling 23 musical instruments, because that chapter had to do with the Great Tribulation. And this, too, has to do with the Great Tribulation, because it was at the beginning of the Great Tribulation, God started to lift his hand of restraint, and as he did so, iniquity of the unsaved people of the world began to abound in the church and outside the church. And these things that were always present in the hearts of men began to show themselves all over the earth. Now, we're not going to go through and study each of the particular sins mentioned. You know, we're familiar with a number of them. For example, unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness. These are things we're familiar with. But there's a few that aren't that familiar. And so I thought we'll just comment on those. And the first one would be debate in verse 29. Now, debate is a word, a Greek word, Strong's number 2054, that's also translated as strife, contention, and variance. And for example, in Galatians chapter 5, when we're reading of the works of the flesh, I think I called it the fruit earlier, but it's not actually fruit, it's works of the flesh. We read in Galatians 5, verse 20, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. The word variance is the same word translated as debate. And to tell you the truth, I never knew that before. So, it's helpful to me to understand that variance means debate. And debate, I think, is best defined. This Greek word is best defined by how it's used in Titus chapter 3, verse 9, where we read, "But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain." The word contentions is this same word. So debating about the law, it gets into strife, into contentions with people, back and forth. No, that's not what the Lord would have us to do. We're to state the truth, declare the faithful teaching of the Bible, and if someone doesn't understand it, okay, we can't open up their eyes. We don't get into a long, drawn-out argument with them. That's unprofitable and vain. Okay, now going back to Romans 1, also in verse 29, malignity. Malignity is only found in this verse, and it's Strong's 2550, but it's a compound word that literally, when we look at the two words that come together that form this word that is translated as malignity, it means evil manners. Evil manners is what malignity means, and manners, we know what evil is, but manners is found in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. 1 Corinthians 15, 33, where it says, "Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners." And that really doesn't give us too much of an idea of what manners is, but it's good manners, so it has to do with behavior, conduct, that kind of thing. Things that are good in that way, meaning in line with what the Bible says, but evil communications corrupts them, and when they become corrupted, then it becomes evil manners or malignity. So that's also a word that I was interested in because I wasn't too familiar with it. Another word is backbiter in verse 30. Backbiters, and this is the things that are filling the wicked, that it is really coming forth from their heart. It's always been there, but not so much in evidence until we reach the end of the world where we're at. And then we'll find people are backbiters. And a backbiter, this Greek word translated as backbiter is only found here, but it's a compound word. It's a word that means to speak, joined together with a preposition, and against. So literally, to be a backbiter is to speak against. That's how the Bible would define it. Another word that I thought was interesting is at the end of verse 31, the 23rd sin listed, unmerciful. Unmerciful. And, you know, we can contrast that with what the Lord says in Matthew chapter 5, in verse 7, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." And we know that only God is merciful, and yet once he bestows his mercy on his elect, they also become merciful as well. They've been the recipients of the grace and mercy of God, and now they go forth with the gospel and have a desire to share the gospel, which brings mercy, and they carry themselves as merciful to their fellow man. And especially as God commands these new born-again souls, and they now have a desire to do the will of God, and God commands them to forgive, forbear, forgiving one another, forbearing one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. As God has had mercy upon you, have mercy upon your fellow man. And this does lead the elect, and only the elect, to genuinely show forth the fruit of mercy, while the unsaved receive no mercy of God. God is not merciful to them. He does not forgive their sin. And therefore, they can show themselves no genuine mercy. They have no ability to genuinely forgive and to pardon their fellow man. And you know, that's always been in evidence to some degree when you would talk to somebody of the world and they would say, "I'll never forget what he did to me. I'll never forgive him." And they, you know, absolutely mean it. And they hold their grudge. That's being unmerciful. And now, especially at the time of the end, this is one of the characteristics of Judgment Day, or of the end times. And the end of the world really began in 1988. Upon the 13,000th year of Earth's history. And so we would expect to see this sin, and it's a sin to be unmerciful. It's just as much a sin as fornication, as far as God is concerned, or a hater of God. You know, these sins aren't listed. Well, this one's more sinful. They're all sinful, all equally sinful. And so we would expect to see this sin in evidence, and aren't we, though? We're seeing it in unmistakable ways. When someone has said something, tweeted something, written something 30 years ago, and it comes to light, and the person even apologized, said, "Oh, I was young and foolish, and you know, I'm a completely changed person. I'm sorry." Do they say, "Oh, okay, that's understandable. And we'll now forget all about it. You know, let's just forgive. We all have done wrong things. We all have said and written things and so forth." Does anyone say that? You don't find that. You find, well, let's get rid of him. Let's fire him, and then he's publicly ridiculed and held up to be, you know, they'll label him as this or that, and it's wrath, it's judgment, it's condemnation. No mercy is being shown from the people of the world to other people of the world, or to anyone at all. They have no mercy. It's just not in them, because mercy comes from God. Okay, now we'll go to the last verse, verse 32. And it says, "Who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." Who, these people, the unsaved, who are filled with all these sins, knowing the judgment of God, and this goes back to the earlier scriptures we read in this chapter. If you remember, back in verse 18, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold or suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. So that's why God is saying they know the judgment of God. And by the way, the word judgment, the Greek word, is actually better translated as righteousness. Well, it's Strong's 1345, and it's translated as ordinances in one place, and as righteousness, it's the word, same word, for example, as in Romans 5, verse 18, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. The word righteousness, which it identifies with the righteousness of Christ, is the same word translated judgment. And it's also the word in the book of Revelation, the righteousness of the saints. It's this identical Greek word, which means that this should be translated, who knowing the righteousness of God. And that's what was stated back in verse 18, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. So God wrote the law upon man's heart. There's the testimony of the heavens concerning righteous acts. And when men conduct themselves in accord with those laws, those natural laws, we could say, of the creation or the law upon the heart, and certainly the law of God, the Bible, then they have a sense of doing right. But also, they know when they've done wrong, knowing the righteousness of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. Man knows this deep down, that he's offended God, transgressed his law, and has done things worthy of death. And by the way, the word worthy is translated as due reward. In Luke 23, verse 41, as the one thief on the cross says to the other, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss, referring to Jesus. Basically, the thief who Christ saved and went to be with the Lord that same day, he's saying, we receive that which is worthy of our deeds, due reward. We have done wrong, and now we're going to die. The wages of sin is death. It is right. It is according to the law of God. He is acknowledging the righteousness of God's law. And also, just to see, you know, sometimes when you're looking through the prism of another verse, it helps to understand maybe a verse that wasn't so easy to understand previously. In Revelation 16, verse 6, it says, for they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and this referring to the people of the world, the unsaved, of the kingdom of Babylon, of the nations. They have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. No, it was thought long ago that this has some kind of spiritual relationship to the blood of Christ, because only the elect drink of the blood of Christ and are worthy. But no, that's not correct. This is referring, as the first part of the verse says, to those that have shed the blood of saints and prophets, the unsaved of the kingdom of Satan. They are worthy of the due reward because God has given them blood to drink, their own life. The life is in the blood. And in the day of judgment, the gospel for the unsaved people of the world It's not the gospel of the blood of Christ which might provide salvation and mercy and grace, but it's the gospel where they are the grapes being tread underfoot. It is their blood gushing forth, and so the atonement in view is not that of a mediator that performed on behalf of them, but it is they themselves suffering and dying, being crushed under the wrath of God, and that is the gospel, the blood that is to be drunk by the unsaved people of the world in the day of judgment. Why? They are worthy. It is for their due reward. The thing they have done is wrong, and now God is satisfying his law's justice by giving them this kind of drink, this kind of gospel in the day of judgment. Okay, let's go back to Romans 1:32. To knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Now, I've always had a different understanding of this verse, this last statement. I kind of looked at it like, oh, it has to do with just how man loves his sin, and that's why all the, you know, fictional books, fictional movies, TV shows, all of entertainment industry, in one way or another, it involves the sin of man and putting it on view. And the rest of the people of the world, although they may not do those particular sins, at least not outwardly, yet take pleasure in it. That's been my understanding of what God is saying here, that they not only do it, but then they take pleasure in them that do them. And if it is true, when we look at the entertainment industry, that is basically their business. The thing that they market, buying and selling, are the sins of men. They just make it glamorous or more exciting, and yet it's always showcasing evil. It's always showcasing wickedness, the rebellion of man against God, and isn't it amusing? Isn't it thrilling and exciting? And yes, people find pleasure and enjoyment in witnessing others commit sin. But after looking at this word, pleasure, that they not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them, this word is not the same word as in Hebrews 11, where we read of Moses in verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. No, it's not that word. And there's a couple other words that give that same kind of idea in 2 Timothy chapter 3. We read in verse 4, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. But that's also a different word. And there's another word, too, that ties lust and pleasure together. And it's not that word. Well, what word is this? This word is not referring to sensual pleasure, but it literally means, it's another compound word with a preposition, with consent. That's what it means. It's the same Greek word translated consent or consenting that we find in Acts 8, only again with the preposition with. In Acts 8, verse 1, and Saul was consenting unto his death. Now that's referring to Stephen, who in the previous chapter was stoned to death, and Saul was watching their coats, they laid their garments at his feet, and he, oh yeah, you guys go ahead. I'll keep watch, make sure they're safe. In other words, he was in full agreement with the stoning to death of Stephen. And that was a sinful thing for all those Jews to have done, because Stephen was speaking the truth and was a true man of God. So when we read here concerning the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, and we all know that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We've all done numbers of these sins, if not every one of them. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them, but are in full agreement with them that do them, or in them that do these things. We consent. And that could tie in with watching TV or the things we read. Yes, if we're engaging in that, if we're looking for amusement and to pass the time and to be entertained, or even spending time concentrating on the evil that's going on out in the world, if we're fascinated by this, it's not surprising, because even the elect still have a body that is corrupt and lusts after sin. And so it would be a natural desire for the physical body to observe these things and also consent and have agreement. And so I just thought that was interesting, because it was a little bit of a correction to how I had understood that verse. Okay. Well, it took a while, but we've come to the end of chapter 1. Lord willing, in our next Bible study, we're going to begin Romans chapter 2. And Romans chapter 2 is a chapter that's going to very soon, very quickly, get into the day of judgment. And where God speaks of the revelation of the righteous judgment of God, and he lays out his judgment program, the twofold tribulation, and so forth. So it should be very interesting. But that's all we have time for in this study. So may you be blessed by the word of God according to God's perfect will.
You've been listening to eBible Fellowship's Evening Bible Studies with your host and Bible teacher, Chris McCann. Visit our website at ebiblefellowship.org for additional studies. Until next time, may the Lord's perfect will be done.